Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Digital Equipment Corporation conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, but later we will conduct a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, and I'd like to now turn the conference over to Ms. Nikki Richardson.
Good morning. Today I have Jack Smith, Senior VP for Operations, Bill Stoyle, VP for Finance, and Brad Allen, Director of Investor Relations, with me. The format for today's conference will consist of short presentations by Jack and Bill, followed by questions taken by Jack, Bill, and Brad. As before, we only have a short time for questions, so please limit yourself to one question. I think Bill can start.
Yes. Good morning. We reported today our financial results for our first quarter of our fiscal year, FY93. We reported that our revenues were up 1% from the comparable quarter a year ago at $3.314 billion. We also reported a loss for the quarter of $261 million, or $2.04 per share, compared with earnings of $11,662,000, or 9 cents a share, for the comparable quarter a year ago. We also commented that while our revenues were flat, we were not pleased with the loss. We have looked at the economic situation in the U.S. and around the world, and have experienced continued weakness in our markets, in capital spending in general, and restructuring actions and the expense reduction actions we've taken as a company have not yet yielded the return to profit that we're working on, although you can expect progress in that direction over the next few quarters. On the positive side, we were able to last week sell $250 million worth of 10-year notes at a very competitive 7 1/8% interest rate. These notes will allow us to finance the company's operations going into the future. We already had a very conservative balance sheet with a very low debt to total debt and equity ratio of less than 2%. It's now with the financing at just under 7%, and we believe we have a strong balance sheet and and good insurance in terms of the cash we need to go forward. We showed continuing improvement in inventory management. We also had our other assets under good management. Our accounts receivable are at a level we planned, and we've taken out approximately 5,300 jobs during the quarter, reflecting our continuing restructuring and downsizing activity in the company. We're cautiously optimistic about the future at this point. We have significant revenues coming from new products this year. We're not planning dramatic increases in our revenues. Instead, we're focusing on expenses and asset improvement and a quarter-by-quarter improvement in our profit situation. So I think, in summary, we're about where we expected to be at this point in time. Business is soft, but what we expected it to be, and we have the cash and the balance sheet resources to continue to operate successfully as a company.
Jack?
Morning, everyone. As Bill mentioned, we're not pleased with our Q1 operating results. Anytime you have an operating loss, obviously you can't be pleased. On the other hand, we had a game plan in place for Q1 around revenue yield, how much revenue we would get, our expenses, and our asset utilization. We are pleased with that. We came in right on our game plan relative to how much revenue we shipped. We came in right on our game plan with our expenses and our asset utilization. In the area of headcount, as Bill mentioned, we took out about 5,300 people in Q1. We intend to be more aggressive in Q2 relative to headcount reductions relative to Q1. So with 5,300 in Q1, we expect to do better than that in Q2. Overall, we had a high headcount of 136,000 people. We're currently at 108, which is somewhere around 22% reduction overall. Going forward, as Bill mentioned, we're cautious relative to the first half of this year from the standpoint of return to profitability. On the other hand, we feel that the actions that we've been taking in the latter part of last year and in Q1 relative to expense containment, some of that will certainly start showing up in Q2, and therefore we have some level of optimism that Q2 will show improvement over Q1. Once again, let me repeat, we do remain optimistic relative to the first half of the year from a return to profitability standpoint. Economic indicators have not improved relative to the last time we had this discussion, and therefore there's no reason for us to change our position on what we think is going to happen in the economy, which is the sluggishness should continue, at least in our view, from what we read from the economic indicators. Okay, why don't you...
Yes, just before we open for questions, I'd just like to remind everybody that the annual meeting this year will be November 5th at 11 o'clock at the World Trade Center, and we invite you to attend. Wendy, we'd like to open it for questions, please. Could you start?
Thank you very much. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we will start with the polling process. One moment for the first question. John Wilkie, state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
With the Wall Street Journal, Jack. Gentlemen, good morning. Nikki. Jack, I'm not sure I understood what you said just a moment ago. You said that we remain optimistic for the first half of the year relative to a return to profitability. Can you just run through that with us again, please?
John, I think I said the exact opposite, which was that we remain very, very cautious relative to return to profitability during the first half of the year. Where I could have confused you somewhat, John, is our outlook between Q1 and Q2. Our outlook in Q2, which is this quarter relative to Q1, we see improvement quarter to quarter simply because of the cost containment efforts we put in place the latter part of last year, and in the cost containment we have put in place in Q1, which actually occurred in the latter part of the quarter, so did not have much of a Q1 effect, but will have a Q2 effect. So optimism from the standpoint of improvement Q1 to Q2. In general, though, for the first half of the fiscal year, we remain very, very cautious relative to a return to profitability.
Mr. Smith, a product-related question. Do you expect your revenues will be affected, your new product revenues will be affected by the apparent delay in the release of Windows NT?
No, I'm not quite sure what aspects of Windows NT you're relating to, but... In this current quarter, we don't have a very high reliance on new product introduction. I think we've commented on that in the past. The bulk of our new product introductions are focused towards the second half of the fiscal year.
Thank you.
Wendy, could you pull the next caller, please?
Jonathan Yankin, please state your affiliation. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi, with AP. Looking at your game plan, when would you expect the company to be solidly profitable? Would it be by the end of the fiscal year?
Well, as I mentioned, we have a game plan that is more centered on the second half of the fiscal year from the standpoint of revenue growth. We in the first half of this fiscal year, and for the total fiscal year in general, we have a relative conservative revenue growth built into the plan. The second half of the fiscal year certainly will have more of an expense effect than the first half of the fiscal year. Therefore, we remain more optimistic in the second half of the fiscal year than the first half of the fiscal year. Once again, you have to remember that we're dealing with relatively low backlogs in this industry at this point in time. Not only DEC, but most companies in the industry are dealing with relatively low backlogs. So your visibility, if you will, one quarter and beyond out is not very good at this point in time, but we feel that that's a fact of life. The industry is going to have to learn how to deal with that. So from a standpoint of cost containment, we feel comfortable that our game plan will be executed and that we will show quarter-to-quarter improvements relative to expenses. The unknown with us and the unknown in the industry, of course, is where is the revenue growth going to go in this rather sluggish environment.
Could we have the next question, please?
Joshua Hyatt, please state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
From the Boston Globe. Good morning. Mr. Smith, you said that, if I understood you correctly, that layoffs would be more aggressive in the next, or I guess the current fiscal quarter. Can you give us some idea of what number you're shooting for in terms of total employment and what that number might look like at the next time we have this kind of meeting?
As we've discussed in the past, we're at the stage of downsizing. I mentioned at the outside that we've taken out about 22% of the people in our company. We're at the point now that our downsizing is focused on the re-engineering of our processes across the company. Until we have more visibility where we are relative to the re-engineering of these processes, you know, I give you any particular number relative to Q2 other than what I've already said, which is we do have enough visibility at this point in time that we feel we could be more aggressive in Q2 than Q1 results, which was at 5,300. Overall, total numbers standpoint, I believe that Bob Palmer in his October 1st address mentioned at that point in time that we're looking at maybe 25 plus coming out of our overall company at some point in time. At that point in time, the company was at about 113,000 people, so to comment around 22 plus, I'll let you do the arithmetic.
That 22% figure that you've used in downsizing, that's from when?
I'm sorry?
The 22% figure that you've downsized, 22%, that dates, what period are you covering?
We had the downsizing, that we hit a high of about 136,000, 137,000 people with acquisitions somewhere in the late 89 time frame.
Uh-huh.
Next question, please.
Liz Galisi, state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I'm with Bloomberg Business News. I would like to have a breakdown on the 5,300 people who were reduced in the first quarter. How many from layoffs and how many from attrition and retirements? I would also like to know if you expect to be profitable for the full year 93.
From the standpoint of attrition versus the involuntary separations, the attrition was at about 1,000, somewhere around 1,000, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, but it was around 1,000. As I mentioned, 5,300 was the overall number. So once again, you can do the arithmetic. As I mentioned previously, because of the low backlog situation in our industry and our company, it's rather difficult for us to project out beyond the current quarter at this point in time going into the second half of the year. So I could not at this point in time project out what the overall results are going to be for the fiscal year. On the other hand, we are very much focused on profit this year. Our key focus is to return to profitability and to generate a profit. And although we focus in on expense reduction and we focus in on revenue and revenue growth and cost containment, our focus this fiscal year is a return to profitability. Profit for this fiscal year is the name of the game. But to project ahead towards the end of the fiscal year, going into the second quarter of the year, I just could not do that at this point in time.
Thank you, Jack.
Next question, please.
Mike Cannell, state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I'm with the Boston Herald. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little more about what kinds of jobs are among the 5,300 that have been cut thus far and what kinds of jobs you're shooting for as we go forward.
It's basically across the board. As I mentioned, it's not only across the board, but it's across our global world. We expect to downsize in all areas of our global world, U.S., Europe, GIA, etc. So it's global, and at the same time, it's across the board. Areas of focus in the short term is in the area of R&D. We mentioned in the past we feel that we have to continue to invest in R&D going forward. That's absolutely necessary. But on the other hand, we feel we can do some consolidation without affecting the project programs we have in place and save some money in the area of R&D, which the absolute dollars of spending we believe is a little bit too high. We'll keep our focus on manufacturing globally. We'll keep our focus on the overhead areas of spending in our distribution areas and our selling areas. But in general, it's concentrated in all areas of the company as we re-engineer these areas in the company, and it's a global focus in total.
Next question, please.
Gary McWilliams, state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
It's Business Week Magazine. Jack, could you talk a little bit about what happened in the U.S. in the past quarter? I know during the summer there was some talk that order activities were increasing, and these didn't turn into sales, I take it.
In general, I'll comment on the three areas of the company, if you would like. In the United States, it was relatively flat, down slightly, but relatively flat. This is the income and order rate. In Europe, it was basically flat also. Up a little bit, but relatively flat. In the GIA region, we did have one area of a little optimism, which was Japan. Japan was up a little bit more than we thought they were going to be up, but of course, a point the curve does not make. So in general, across the total global operations, it was up maybe somewhere in the area of 2 or 3%. So basically, flat to up slightly.
And Jack, could you also explain what impact the currency fluctuations had on the company's revenues and I guess the loss in the quarter?
Bill, why don't you comment on that?
We had a $38 million negative currency impact on Q1, which was relatively small. About 30 of it impacted the revenue. I meant 48. 48 million. 30 million of it was impacted the revenue, and 18 million the expenses of the company. We have a hedging program that minimizes our currency exposure in all of the countries that we do business in. Minimizes our dollar exposure, and that's why it had a very small effect on our business.
Overall, I think it's fair to say that we'll have favorable currency situations this fiscal year.
Next question, please.
Ray Small, state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
Thank you. I'm with Gartner Group. Mr. Smith, if you can comment on how large a role you see the projected change in the sales compensation plan playing in future financial results, when these changes will be put into effect, and when the results will become material?
Well, we have various compensation programs that we're considering at this point in time, all the way from bonus programs to salary incentive programs. From the standpoint of salary incentive programs, we have not introduced a program at this point in time, although we have a couple of programs that we're looking at. We're approaching the second half. At the end of this quarter, we'll be approaching the second half of the fiscal year, so we don't expect that any programs that we will introduce in the second half of this year would have much of an impact on this fiscal year. We'd be looking towards next fiscal year. We've been having some good results on a salary incentive program that we've had in place in Canada for some period of time now, and that seems to be yielding good results. And we're trying to base future global programs off this particular program that's having a great deal of success in Canada. But to answer your question, any program that would be introduced in sometime during the second half or going into the second half of the year, we don't anticipate yielding great results from that until next fiscal year.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Chris Christensen, state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. This is Kurt Johns from IDC. I was wondering if you had an actual breakdown of the revenues between U.S., Europe, and GIA.
We don't usually go into that kind of give those kind of breakdowns at this point in time. I can say that that the mix of revenue yield is about in the traditional. Is in the traditional areas of yield. So if you take last year's results and you extrapolate out what the traditional mix has been, it's about the same. We don't see anything swinging upwards or downwards. It's the traditional mix of revenue.
If I could just jump in for a second, this is Brad Allen. The U.S. portion of total revenues was 37.6%. All non-U.S. was 62.4%. U.S. was basically flat, as Jack said, first time in the last seven quarters that it hasn't been down, and the non-U.S. was up about a point or so.
Next question.
Judith Grindall, please state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
Next question, please.
Craig Stedman, please state your affiliation and your question.
Hi, I'm with Electronic News. I was wondering if you could comment on whether you've seen any improvement in the VAX business as a result of the alpha-ready systems that were introduced during the summer, and whether, if you haven't yet, if you expect to see that going forward, or if you expect that the looming introduction of alpha is going to cause people to continue waiting.
We talked about this last time, and as you remember, we were mainly concerned about the decline in our VAX VMS business, particularly in Europe and in GIA. I also mentioned at that point in time that we had introduced incentive programs to stabilize this erosion in the United States, Alpha Ready program being one of those programs. But we also introduced other incentive programs that had slowed down the erosion of VAX VMS air business in the United States. I also mentioned at that point in time that we were introducing these same programs in the GIA in European regions, and I'm pleased to report at this point in time that we're having the same results in Europe and in GIA that we experienced in the United States, which is the erosion has stabilized and flattened out at this point in time. The only question we have in our mind is it going to remain flat, or can we expect a slight uptick? And at this point in time, we don't know what the answer to that question is, but we feel good about the programs that we put in place to stabilize the VAX VMS business and basically flattened it out worldwide.
And could you just comment on how quickly you would expect to see revenues from the Alpha systems?
Built into our game plan, we don't expect any significant revenues during the second half of this year. We expect that Alpha revenue will really start clicking in next fiscal year. So we have rather conservative Alpha revenue plans built into our and put built into a particular game plan. We'd sure like to be surprised, but at this point in time, we feel it's the right approach is to be conservative around the new product alpha introduction, revenue yield during the second half of the year, going into 94.
Next question, please.
Andy Hennessy, please state your affiliation and your question. Patrick O'Holler, please state your affiliation and your question.
Next question.
Peter Davidson, your affiliation and question, please.
No question.
Thank you. Sarah Varney, your affiliation and question, please. Lisa Ecklicker, please state your affiliation and question.
Lisa Eckelbecker from the Worcester Telegram. In your release this morning,
go ahead, Lisa.
In your release this morning, you talk about 1,000 software vendors and original equipment manufacturers stating their intention to develop products based on alpha architecture. I wonder if you could tell me if there's going to be any announcements soon about alpha products.
Well, we have a scheduled announcement on November 10th relative to a lot of aspects of the Alpha program. Now, that is a major event that we have planned in the immediate future. That is November 10th.
Next question.
John Logan, please state your affiliation and your question.
This is Tom Wilmot at the Aberdeen Group, John's colleague. I'd like to ask a little bit about order rates, in particular with the VAX, and what the nature of the Alpha upgrade program is from a field sales perspective and from a customer perspective. Are you promising reasonably priced upgrades, very expensive upgrades? What kind of products do these span? Can you be more specific about it?
This is Bill Stoyle. The new VAXs that we announced in July, the 7000 series family, the 10,000 series family, are board upgradable to Alpha when the Alpha boards are ready later this fiscal year. They are priced in such a way that the customers have an incentive to buy those VAX systems now, and when all the software is available, to upgrade the hardware so that they can take advantage of the 64-bit architecture and the speed of the new Alpha technology at their discretion in terms of when they feel it is appropriate within their own business. It's priced in such a way that they actually get a price break by buying machines now that they will upgrade later.
Next question, please.
Barbara Grady, please state your affiliation and your question.
Hi, this is Barbara Grady of Reuters News Service. You had mentioned you have more optimism about revenues from new products in the second half of the year. Are you...
We have some breakup. Could you restate your question? We can't hear you.
One moment. Please continue, Ms. Grady.
I was asking whether your optimism about the second half revenues from new products was referring to the Alpha program, or what, or which products in particular do you have the most hope? Also, I was just curious, did you meet or speak with analysts this morning?
We had a teleconference with analysts as well,
okay.
Just like we're having with the
okay.
Yeah. Relative to the comments around the second half of the first fiscal year versus the first half of the fiscal year, my comments were basically focused in on profit, not necessarily revenue or expenses at this point in time. The optimism relative to the second half of the year versus the first half of the fiscal year is we do expect the second half of the fiscal year to have lower expenses than in the first half of the year, and therefore some optimism on in improved profit situation. Relative to products, as I mentioned previously, we do not have a great deal of alpha revenue built into the second half of the fiscal year. The areas that we would be focused in on for revenue growth in the second half of the fiscal year would be in the area of services, including SI, and in the low end of the business, which is in the area of PCs and low end of workstations, and in the peripheral areas. But from the standpoint of revenue dependence in the second half of the fiscal year, we do not have built into our great game plan a great deal of alpha revenue in the second half of the year. Now, everything helps when you consider that there is relatively zero alpha revenue in the first half of the fiscal year.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Joanna Schmidt, please state your affiliation and your question.
From the Gazette Telegraph in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I wanted to just go back a little bit to the job cuts that you're looking at this quarter. I'm wondering if you're expecting the same mix of layoffs and attrition and retirements, or if you're planning to accelerate any of those areas, and also if you're expecting to need to take another charge against earnings anytime soon.
We expect globally and from a demographic standpoint in the United States, we expect the mix to stay relatively the same. From the standpoint of restructuring, we have built into our game plan the number of folks we feel that must be reduced for us to become a world-class competitor, and the reserve takes that into consideration. The current reserve takes that into consideration.
Next question, please.
Melinda Ballou, please state your affiliation and your question.
Hi, I'm with Computer World. I just wanted to ask about the restructuring that was spoken about by Bob Palmer earlier. I heard that he was going to be making some kind of specific announcement about that in the next few weeks. He told us that himself. I was wondering how that may impact earnings and affect also the layoff potentially.
Well, I believe that I'm not necessarily sure what particular comments by Bob that you're relating to, but the game plan that we have in place is being institutionalized throughout the company and is quite visible within the company. So we're going to execute to that game plan, and we'll yield the results from that game plan. I don't anticipate. Once again, I don't exactly understand what comments you're relating relative to Bob, but I would guess that any comments that Bob has made in the past is related to the game plan and should go forward relative to the game plan.
Basically, when are we going to hear specifically about the game plan, I guess would be a better way of phrasing that question.
Well, I think we've been talking here quite consistently for the last 20 minutes around the game plan from the standpoint of population reductions, where we feel we are going to be from an expense standpoint in the second half of the year versus the first half of the year. And we also talked about where we felt we were going to be relative to the revenue in the second half of the year versus the first half of the year. So I think we've been talking about the game plan right along in the various areas that we've been discussing.
So as far as managerial restructuring of the business groups, those kinds of restructurings, then that isn't something we should be talking about with you, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you mean the restructuring of the company itself with the
right.
Focus on the customer? Is
right.
that
and,
what you're actually...
And also to potential layoffs, because that's an area that you're concerned with.
Well, from the standpoint of the reorganization and restructuring, I believe Bob will be commenting on that right along as time goes on. He outlined his program at the October 1st meeting, which outlined more of a focus on customers and how customers view digital and going forward. So I think Bob will be commenting on that ongoing. From the standpoint of the level of restructuring, I'll just give you a repeat of the numbers that we comment on the outside. We're currently Bob, in his October 1st address, mentioned 25-plus people most likely being required to come out of the organization. At that point in time, we were at about 113,000. So once again, you could just carry out that arithmetic. Bill, you wanted to say something relative to that?
Yes. I was at the press conference where Bob made those comments, and perhaps it would help if I just added a couple of things to what Jack said. We do have our business plans broken down by what we call business units that are market-focused and customer-focused, and we're evolving our organization to give those business units more influence, if you will, in the company, so that all of the investments we make in technology, all of the investments we make in distribution are with the customers in mind and the key industries that Digital wants to invest in over time. So Bob made some comments about changing various parts of our organization to be more market and more customer focused than we've been in the past, where our business units have tended to be more product oriented or service oriented and less customer oriented. That's, I think, what you're referring to, but please ask if that didn't clear it up.
No, that's helpful. Thank you.
Wendy, I think we have time to take just one more question.
Very well, ma'am. One moment, please. Mike O'Connell, please state your affiliation and go ahead with your question.
I am from the Lowell Sun. Back to the employment issue a bit. How many job losses were there in Massachusetts? And
of the total 5,300 people, the job loss in Massachusetts were around 3% of the total.
I'm sorry, 3%?
3% of the total.
Okay. And just a follow-up, do you see the company closing many facilities over the next year?
We are reviewing this at this current times, and when you talk about the numbers of people coming out of the total population, as we have talked previously, you can anticipate, yes, that there will be future operation closings. We keep on mentioning plant closings. Of course, there are other facilities that we have within the corporation, and it's not only plant closings that are required, it's also facilities closings in other areas. But when you consider the numbers of people that we're talking about having to downsize here in the coming quarters, you can assume that there's going to be further facilities closings.
Now, this is Bill. I'd like to just add to Jack's comment that our downsizing and restructuring program integrates what we need to do to be competitive from a gross margin and operating cost, operating expense point of view, what we need to achieve in terms of revenue per employee by each of the individual businesses that we're in, and what we need for space to conduct the company's operations, engineering, manufacturing, sales, marketing, distribution, etc. Our employees know that we're not competitive today. If we were competitive, we'd be making a profit. They know we have to do some further restructuring and downsizing, but I think it's safe to say in general that our employees are very optimistic about the company's future and know we need to restructure in order to be competitive. And we've involved a broad cross-section of our employees in the discussions that we've had about what costs need to come out of the company, what plants need to be consolidated, what facilities around the world we can do without in order to be more competitive as a company overall. Our employees are involved, and I believe it's safe to say that they're optimistic about our future and our willingness to go forward with these programs.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. That will end the teleconference.
This does conclude the conference for today. I would like to thank everyone for joining and have a good day.